good morning on a dusty Sunday morning. I guess we'll take any way of keeping those triple digits temperatures away for as long as we can. I was reading about an elderly couple that lived together in a nursing home. And even though they had been married for a long time, for about 60 years, their relationship was strained with constant arguments, disagreements, and even shouting contests. And the fights didn't stop even there in the nursing home. They used to argue and squabble from sun up to sundown. Eventually, the nursing home management had to tell them that if they didn't change their ways, they would have no option but to kick them out. But even then, they couldn't agree on what to do. Finally, the wife said to her husband, "I'll tell you what, Joe, let's pray that one of us dies. And after the funeral is over, I'll go live with my sister." Now, I think that all of us can recognize that there are much better ways than this to solve conflicts, and that this is actually not a way of solving a conflict. We know what a disciple is. A disciple, we have heard so many times, is one who worships Christ, one who walks with Christ, and one who works for Christ. And we have looked at what a disciple has to be at an individual level for the first 3 months of this year. And starting in the month of April, we began to look at what it means to consider what it is a disciple in the family. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at marriage and the purpose of marriage. Today, we will briefly look at how to address conflicts in a biblical way. This is a very wide topic. I can't really do anything but just kind of scratch the surface in a few minutes. And I'm talking here specifically about conflicts within the family unit. And even that's too much, so I'm going to narrow it down even more to conflicts between parents and children and husbands and wives. Although the principles apply to conflicts in general. Before I start, I want to say this. Prevention is always the best thing, and I'll come back to that later. However, let's look at what we need to do once conflicts arise. The first thing that I believe is important to do anytime you have any kind of problem, not just conflicts, is to recognize the source of the conflict. If your car breaks down, if you don't recognize the source, you're going to waste your time trying to fix it. In the case of conflicts in the family, we have to realize that the number one problem is our fallen nature, our sinful nature. James asked a group of believers, he said, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you?" Our sinful nature is a primary cause for conflict, and we have to realize and recognize that. I was reading this morning, I ran across an article that had a title, "Sin, the Forgotten Doctrine." It is something that the American culture in general seems to have forgotten. And I think that this is one area where we can easily overlook the problem of sin. We have a fallen nature that leads to those sorts of situations. Another cause, but before I say what the other cause is, of course, this fallen nature can manifest itself in many different ways. So it can bring about many conflicts because it has many ways in which it surfaces. Another cause is the enemy of our souls, the devil, of course, is an expert at causing conflict and strife. So let's be aware of what the causes and the sources of the conflict are. Primarily, our fallen nature and the enemy of our souls. There is more, but that's all I want to say for now. Before I say anything else, please remember that I'm talking primarily about children, parents, and husbands, wives, although the application could be wider. So in what I say next, it does make a difference whether you're the child or the parent or the husband or the wife. The principles are the same for all, but the application is sometimes different. not going to be able to do a lot of application with so many different cases. I think that after recognizing the source of the conflict, it's important for us to seek to resolve conflicts using God as a model. I can't think of a better way to solve a conflict, any kind of conflict, especially a conflict in the family, than taking God as a model. Of course, there's some limitations because it's not a perfect comparison. God being holy, perfect, infinitely good, and so on. However, we should still use His approach as our guide. Number one, God's grace. God's grace is the first thing that we have to appeal to as a model. We have to show grace to the other person, even if they're at fault. Don't keep bringing their mistake and throw it in their face constantly. That's not going to solve anything. That's not going to help. And this is perhaps one of the best ways to display Christ-like character. And of course, grace involves many aspects, including forgiveness, mercy, and so on. What's another way that we can use, we can look at God and use Him as a model, not just His grace? So we shouldn't just be graceful to the other person, but we should show love. Love. Now, just before I continue, all those things are so easy for me to say. We recognize this, right? It's easy for me to say them. It's easy for you to say, yeah, I think that sounds right. But it's so much more difficult to actually apply them when you have to. So let's hope that God and pray that God will give us the strength to do that. God's love. Demonstrate love for your parents, for your children, or for your husband and wife, even in the midst of conflict. Above all, love each other deeply, said Peter, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. How else can we use God as an example? Look at God's truthfulness. Look at Him and His commitment, His total commitment to the truth. Remain faithful to the truth. It's one thing to cover a multitude of sins through love. And it's a completely different thing to cover up sin. We don't want to do that. Covering up is not our goal. If they're wrong, if the other person is wrong, and be sure that they are wrong, then you let them know if needed. And by that, I mean that if they come and repent, there's no reason for you to bring it up at all. But even when you have to do it, even if you do it with grace and love. That's how we need to do it. That's how we need to approach this. And if you're wrong, because guess what? I don't know if anybody ever told you, but you are wrong sometimes. I am wrong sometimes. I am sometimes in any kind of conflict that I might be involved in, I am the guilty party. Sometimes both are wrong. But if you happen to be the one who is at fault, who's wrong, guess what you have to do? This in this area, the comparison with God, of course, doesn't work. But in this case, you would admit that you're wrong and you would ask for forgiveness. And yes, even if you're a parent, yes, you can ask for you can ask your children for forgiveness or your child for forgiveness. And one last thing I want to look at as using God as an example: take the first step. Be the initiator. God was the one who initiated salvation. We didn't look for Him. We didn't even know we were lost. We couldn't have known that we were lost without Him. We couldn't even have known that He exists if He hadn't chosen to reveal Himself in nature and in Scripture. But use Him as a model and take the first step. Be the one who seeks to resolve conflict. God's grace, God's love, God's truthfulness, and God's initiation. God taking the first step. These are some ways that we can use God as an example, as a model for us. And now, I want to say that in the end, we have to return. It's not enough to do all those things.
It's not enough to recognize the source of the conflict and to seek to resolve it in the manner I just described, but we have to return to God-established principles for our relationships. And this can actually prevent the conflicts in the first place. Let me read a couple of verses from Ephesians. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. These are very well-known verses. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Children, in chapter 6, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I'd like you to notice a few things here. Children, it says here, obey your parents. Notice this. The promise of blessing is if you honor your parents. This is a blessing that God gives. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says that this actually pleases the Lord. Do you want to do something that pleases the Lord? Honor your parents. One more thing to notice here. The way you honor your parents is through obedience. Did you catch that? You honor your parents through obedience. Of course, when a mature child has his own household, this changes. You no longer obey your parents. You still honor them, but you honor them in different ways. Do you honor your parents? How do you do that? Think about that. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not exasperate or provoke. In the pagan world in Paul's day, and even in many Jewish households, the fathers ruled with rigid authority. This is not what God wants. The desires and interests of children should be considered. Of course, with the guidance and wisdom that the parent has. But parents and fathers should not be dictators in the house. They should be leaders and rulers, but not despots. And then it says, train them in the instruction of the Lord. How important it is to disciple children in the way of the Lord. And one, just a quick thought about husbands and wives. These are some remarkable requirements. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. That is quite a requirement from the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I always say that this is the more difficult requirement, but I'm partially biased, so I still think this is more difficult, but perhaps I'm wrong. In either case, we cannot do this apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be aware of that. We know that. But I believe, and I'm sure that we're all in agreement, that by God's grace and through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can follow these principles and we can make progress in this way. How do we resolve conflicts then in a biblical way? We recognize the source of the conflict. We take God as our role model, as our example. And then we return to God-established principles. May God help us to do this so that we bring honor to His great name. Amen.